You have your Bible this morning, turn with me to 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Who is this God? We live in a day when many deny the very existence of God. Others believe that God does exist, but they have a twisted, unbiblical view of just who he is. To many, he is no more than the man upstairs or the one who is supposed to get us out of trouble when we find ourselves in a situation we can't seem to get out of. A personal relationship with God seems to be foreign to most individuals. Even we Christians have trouble letting him be really who he really is. We get busy living our lives and we let the wonder of his being escape our minds and our hearts. I read the story, and I think it bears repeating this morning. Muhammad Ali, this is a true story, got on a plane one day when he was sitting, and he was sitting in first class. Flight attendant came by and noticed that his seat belt was not fastened, and she said, "Sir, you need to fasten your seat belt." The flight attendant came back a little bit later, and Muhammad Ali had not buckled his seat belt, and she said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Ali, but you're going to have to buckle your seatbelt." She came back again right before the plane was getting ready to taxi down the runway, and Ali had not buckled his seatbelt. And she said, "Mr. Ali, we can't move this plane until you buckle your seatbelt." Mr. Ali said, "I don't need to buckle my seatbelt." "What do you mean you don't need to buckle your seatbelt? Everybody has to buckle their seatbelt." "Well, Superman don't need no seatbelt. The flight attendant this time was totally ticked off. She looked at him squarely in the eye and said, "Superman don't need no airplane either." You know, a man has got to know his limitations. Autonomous man who believes that he can live without God, that he can make it without God, or create apart from God, will one of these days be rudely awakened. We have a tendency to get old self in the way. And we do not permit him to do what he wants to do and what he alone can do in our individual lives. The old belief centuries ago was that the sun revolved around the earth. Now we know that that belief was wrong and the earth revolves around the sun. Many of us, though, have got it all wrong in our spiritual lives. Sometimes folks think that God kind of revolves around us. But the truth of the matter is we revolve around God. We need to understand this morning that he is the one that calls the shots. He's the one that tells us what to do, how to live, and if we're wise, we'll be obedient to do what he commands us to do. I want to talk to you this morning about this God that we serve. He is a God that is worthy of all of our honor and all of our praise. Let me share some facts about our God. God is a transcendent being, meaning he is distinct. He is one of a kind. There's nobody else like him. We cannot compare him to anybody. You know, Brother Bud, when Sister Rose passed away and I met her sister, twin sister, there at the funeral home, I had to do a double take. And you know, wherever you go, there's somebody you see that looks like somebody you know. But there's nobody that's like God. You see, he is the omnipotent King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a spirit being, meaning he is immaterial. He does not have a body. You cannot see him. He is an eternal being, meaning there has never been a time, nor will there ever be a time when he is not God. He had no beginning. He has no end. He's always been God. He'll always be God. He is eternal. He is also an immutable being, meaning he never changes. He's always the same. You can depend on him. His word does not vacillate and change. It's always the same. God is a triune being, meaning he is one God consisting in three personalities. Let me tell you this morning, God is not the man upstairs. And when I hear that, and sometimes you hear it at funerals, well, when I hear that, that makes me shudder. The respect that we ought to give unto him, he is omnipotent God. He is Lord of Lords. And he is the creator of all things and the creator of your life and mine. And we ought to bow down before him and praise his name. He is not some kind of Superman like us, but a higher being. He is not a God among many gods. He is the only God. I'm glad this morning when I think about my God to realize that in all of his power, in all of the vastness of all that he has created, he's mindful of that little speck called you and me. He's concerned about us. And I don't understand that, but I'm thankful that he cares. I'm thankful that he loves us. Because I'm telling you, we live in a world where there's not a lot of love. But he loves us. Well, the word glory in the text is very interesting. In the Old Testament, it means to be weighed. That is, in our modern vernacular, it would be something like God is awesome. He is holy. But so unlike us, God is glorious. Not because of what he or what he does or what you say or think about him. He is glorious because of his being. He's always been glorious. And not only is he glorious, but he deserves our praise. And you know, when we sing our songs, we're singing praise to him. When we come into the house, he is here. You see, the good news about coming into the house is God's house. And it's kind of like in the Old Testament when Moses was talking to God and the glory of God came down over the tabernacle. And God came in a cloud because his glory was so great that man could not look upon it and live. God is here today. He's not veiled in a cloud, but we know in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, he is here today. And I rejoice in that we have come into the presence of he that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we bow down before him to worship him today. You know, God is glorious whether we proclaim him to be that or not. We're only glorious when we're made to feel glorious. Why do you women? Why do you women go to the beauty shop? The Bible said a woman's hair is her glory. And so you husbands, if your wife spends a whole lot of time in the beauty shop and gives you the bill, it's making her more glorious. But you know what men do? Now, Dennis, I'm not talking to you. Men, you know, they get their automobiles. And we men kind of like, you know, it to be just right. And you know, people look at it and say, wow. And Dennis has got that shiny black vehicle that's been restored and looks like it's brand new, doesn't let a speck of dust get on it. You know, he got his rag with him all the time, and it brings glory to the owner. And you kids, you know, why do you buy and wear the certain clothes that you do? They may not fit real good. They may cost a whole lot. May not be comfortable. But it's the end thing. It brings you glory. Well, God's glory is an intrinsic glory that's a part of his nature, that's a part of who he is. And God wants us as his children to reflect that glory, and the Bible said we're living epistles, read of all men. And folks, when they come into the house of God, they ought to be able to see the glory of God in the people of God. And when we serve the Lord and the things that we do here, it ought to point out the glory of God. And folks ought to be able to see that's a church that loves God. God help us to be concerned about others. You remember Moses, when he conversed with God, in Exodus chapter 33, Moses made this request. He said, Lord, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And God answered him by saying, I myself will make all of my goodness pass before you. Now we know Moses could not see the total essence of God and live. And God said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock, and when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover your face with my hand. We ought to give God glory because he is God. That is, he is worthy of all the glory and all the praise that we can give him, even before he ever does anything for us. But I'm going to ask you this morning, how many of you are here today and God has never done anything for you? All of us would have to say, God has been so good to me. God has been so good to my family. I thank him for his goodness. Understand also, God's eternal, internal essence is made known externally by what he does. Now, I think all of us as we live our lives, have had times that we were down in the valley, when we were going through trouble. And if it had not been for God pulling us out, there have been times when I've been on my knees on the floor calling out for God to help in certain situations. Because sometimes you don't know where to turn. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Sometimes you don't have the wisdom to make the right decisions. And you call upon God. God, please work it out. And you know God always does. I don't know why sometimes we fret and worry. We ought to just turn it over to God, but sometimes we feel like we've got to help him. What is God? If you could pull out the nucleus of God, so to speak, that is his internal essence, it would be a huge radiating light. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:16. He said he only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. God's inner core is a radiating, unapproachable light. A good illustration of this is the sun. You know that we are 93 million miles away from the sun. And we know that it's one big ball of fire and it produces heat and light. We have light by day. And then when the earth revolves around, we have darkness or night when we sleep. And the next day, the light again. And if you get too close to that sun, you'll burn up. We cannot look upon the radiating light of God, the Shekinah glory of God, and live. No man, the Bible says, can see me and live. Moses, when I pass by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover your face with my hand, lest you die. Now, 1 John 1:5 says God is light. And that's why whenever God shows up in history, it's always in relation to light. In Ezekiel 1:28, the prophet Ezekiel saw the glory of God. And he said it was a surrounding radiance, and he fell on his face before God. You remember in Luke 2:9, at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Bible said the shepherds were in the field, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And then in Revelation 21:23, when it talks about the new Jerusalem, it says the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Aren't you glad to know that he is the glorious God of heaven? He's the creator of all that is. You know, sometimes, you know, men would say that they have seen the extent of the universe that God created, all the galaxies and the stars, and then they get a stronger telescope and they look out and they see beyond that there is countless galaxies out there beyond the ones that they had previously seen. I'm here to tell you that this old world that God created, this galaxy and all that he has created, is just immaculate. It's breathtaking. And to think that a big bang happened one day and it just all came into being. I'm glad to know that there is a hand that is all powerful, that spoke and all of this came together. I'm glad that he reached down and picked up that clay and he began to mold it and shape it and made a man. And then when he made that man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he gave man and woman that life that they might honor and glorify him. What would you do if the President of the United States called you up and said, I have selected your house to come and visit today? What would you do? Out of all the other houses in the community, he said, I'm coming to your house. I know what you women would do. You'd get out the vacuum. You'd get out the pledge. The husband would have to be doing the vacuuming, and he'd be cleaning windows. He'd be sweeping here and there outside, you know, making sure everything was right and ready. The President of the United States is coming to our house today. But you know, there's one that comes to our house every day that is more worthy of praise and honor than any president. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We ought to make him feel welcome. Welcome. Every day of our life. And I'm convinced of all the things that we do in our day, the one thing we ought to always do every day, and I think especially in the day in which we live, we ought to say, Lord, if this is the day you're coming, even so, come quickly. Help me to do your bidding. If this is the last day, I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful every day. Will you bow with me for prayer?